are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Facts and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back.
And friends, for those of you who don't know my voice, I have been featured on LA Talk Radio before. I was the host of Teen Talk Live and the Chelsea Cross Show. I am Chelsea Cross, filling in for Max tonight. He's the world traveler, as all of his listeners know and adore him. He was in Italy, he's in South Florida, he's in New York, Connecticut. He's also producing Farah Angsana's show for Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week tomorrow that I am actually helping with him. So we're going to be crazy tomorrow backstage here in New York City. I'm doing the PR, and he is actually directing the entire show. So he's in a tizzy, and I am hosting Max and Friends tonight, and could not be more honored to interview two incredible people that I have lined up, as well as sitting next to two of the most powerful and incredible women I know, and could call them my mother, and also my best friend and editor of my book, 19. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank
Hello,
you.
Chelsea, pleasure to be here.
And not only is it my mother and my editor and also extremely close friend, we have some really forceful divas in the industry. My mother is a PR maven. She was in fashion PR since she was 20 years old. And then Margie over here is a writer extraordinaire. She's worked for so many Florida affiliates. And I want to get to know both of them because we're covering Fashion Week towards at the end of the show. And these are the chicas that you want to hear it from. So, Mom, tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay, well, back in the old day, Jordache had the look, and I worked for them and promoted, you know, what made jeans sexy. Because jeans weren't sexy back then. They were kind of just, you know, Levi's. And so we turned the whole brand around, and we made every young girl want to put on a pair of jeans and have the horse on their backside.
You know, it's so funny because Jordache had, like, a really big comeback, but it really wasn't a really big comeback. It was Heidi Klum, and it really did nothing.
Yeah, I was quite surprised. I don't know why.
I know, because it's such a great line.
It is, and I'm not really sure. I wonder also if just the younger kids didn't connect with Heidi, because maybe she's really too old.
I don't know, because the millennial generation has grown up with Heidi. I mean, from... what's her show that I'm blanking
on? Oh, yeah, Fashion something.
Project Runway.
Project One, right.
So she really is so within this generation. I think Jordache's campaign wasn't strong and edgy enough. You know, and one of the things that every time the commercial came on, it was in black and white. And I thought that was probably the first no-no. I mean, it should be vivid color. We should be seeing what the product looks like.
Right. And I think, you know, maybe they should have tied in with more celebrities wearing it, being photographed in the newspaper,
right,
in the magazine,
right,
making it chic. Maybe they needed to just really change it up a lot.
Yes.
With leathers and textures, and it's never going to be the same.
Right.
You know, Jordache had its day. So now, you know, maybe they should have reinvented it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, reinventing the wheel is always good.
I totally agree. And Jordache will always be like a staple within the jean world. But, you know, sometimes when it's time, it's time. Maybe, there's so many amazing jean lines out there.
So many more than back in the late 70s and 80s.
So we got to experience BCBG and Hervé Leger's show this past week, and tomorrow's Farah Angsana. So give us your 10-second tease to how Fashion Week was, and then, you know, we're going to follow it up at the end of the show. So 10 seconds.
BCBG was hot, hip, new, fresh, exciting. All generations could wear it and feel good about what they look like when they put it on.
Fantastic. Now, Margie over here is not very frequent to New York. She's totally Floridian through and through. So it's so exciting to bring people to New York who don't know New York so well. I always say that I wish that I had the experience of coming to New York as an adult or, you know, a mature teenager. I still think of myself as a teenager sometimes. And like being able to experience it for the first time, because I think it would be so incredible. So besides the fact that New York is still so new and exciting to you, how is Fashion Week your 10-second tease?
Fashion Week was amazing. Being a Floridian and growing up in Miami, and South Beach being what it is as a fashion mecca, you kind of think that you know about fashion until you come to New York and fashion is everywhere. The beautiful people are everywhere. The fashionable people are everywhere. High heels are everywhere. I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to wear in New York? I can't wear high heels. Well, I brought them and I fit right in because everybody just looks amazing. Fashion everywhere. Such an incredible city, an incredible vibe. It's been awesome.
Now give us your background. You've been in newspaper, magazine, books. I mean, so how did you get into the writing industry? What was your first piece you ever did? Do you remember?
Probably a greeting card to my parents when I was 5 years old. And they said, oh, that's so beautiful. But all parents say that. But I guess I was having a Hallmark moment before it was appropriate. And I just kind of recognized my gift early on and got into the business from an advertising standpoint. And just really loved the gift of words and what you could do with them, and have been a lifestyle writer for about the last 20 years or so. And just really love what words can do for people.
Amazing. I love it. I love it. And, you know, when I was starting to write my book 19, I literally was in a tizzy because although my mother says that I was born with the gift of the gift for gab, I was not born with the gift for writing, meaning that my sentences are always run-ons and my punctuation is terrible and my spelling is horrendous. So the fact that Margie was able to completely understand everything that I wrote and made it make sense was a blessing.
She's
and I thank you every day.
That's very kind. She's not giving herself enough credit. She not only does she have the gift of gab, she has the gift as an author. And everybody needs a little help along the way. As they say, we get by with a little help from our friends.
Oh.
And I was very, very happy to be a friend and collaborate with her on her efforts. But it was 99.9% her work and a little tweakage here and there. And that's what professionals do for each other.
Oh,
so she's being humble, but she's quite the talent.
Thank
in
you.
Every
thank
regard.
You. And you can find my book on ChelseaCross.com. But we have two other incredible people coming up on the show. And, you know, when I started Teen Talk Live at 16 years old, one of my biggest missions and goals was to feature other incredible millennials. And I have two incredible millennials who are not only so sweet, but also generous. And especially my first guest, Amy, we met through Twitter. Amazing how social networking could create such amazing relationships and connections. And Amy and I definitely met through Twitter. And Amy is a comedian, and she's here with us. Welcome to Max and Friends, Amy. How are you?
Good. How are you, Chelsea?
I'm great. I'm so happy we're finally connecting. I feel like we've been tweeting each other for, 2 months now? But now I actually know what your voice sounds like.
I want to go on record and say Chelsea's not that bad of a speller. Her tweets are always spelled correctly, and I don't know what she's saying about not being able to spell. I think she's a wonderful speller. She's a lot better than me.
Amy, I knew I liked you right away. Thanks, girl. Well, one of the reasons why you stuck out to me is that, one, I love a girl that's funny. I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, Ellen DeGeneres is amazing. But, you know, I wish that I was funnier sometimes, but I laugh at myself, and I think that's what matters.
Laughing, it doesn't matter.
Exactly, right? Laughing is, like, such an amazing gift. It keeps the world going round. So, Amy, how did you get into, you know, comedy? Were you always funny? Tell us your story.
My story is actually, I'm pretty lucky. I'm very fortunate to have had comedy land right into my lap. I was actually on the X Morning Show here in Pittsburgh. It's 105.9, playing a game called Are You Smarter, which is similar to the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader. And I was on there, and there was comedian Tommy Davison. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's a legend. He's from Living Color. He was on there just that day, ironically, and it was St. Patrick's Day, and after we lost Are You Smarter, Tommy Davison had asked me to open for him that night at the Pittsburgh Improv. So I was very fortunate. My first show was to open up for a national headliner, and I know some comedians work very hard to have this happen, and it was my very first show.
So you were presented with this opportunity and never had any previous work experience before?
No, I did one open mic because it was just on my bucket list. I did that in skydiving. So I was like, I was just doing some stuff. And no, I mean, other than thinking I was a funny kid, I never really thought that this would happen. And after that, he pretty much told me I was very good at it. The improv invited me back. I worked for him all weekend, and I really enjoyed it.
Wow. So, wow. That's very cool. That's really cool.
Tommy Davidson, just for everyone listening, is a very, very nice, humble person, and he works really hard. If anybody ever wants to look his stand-up up, he's very funny.
Very cool. Now, when you got up there, did it ever cross your mind that people would, like, throw things at you and boo at you? Because that would be my biggest fear.
I was so nervous. I just got up there, and I talked about dating, and I had flipped out, and I talked about real life topics, and everybody found it funny because, I mean, I was just single at the time, talking about relationships, and everything just flowed really well. And there, when you go to a comedy club, there's a lot of people on dates, so I kind of picked on dating a lot, so I didn't get anything thrown at me. But I don't know what happened to the people on the way home, you know, on a car ride home, or picking on things with dating. So, yeah, and I didn't get anything thrown at me that night, but.
Good.
I can only
vouch for myself. That's great. Well, one of the biggest, you know, things that I loved from all your tweets and your Twitter, and something that you filled me in on, was your Rockin' Out for a Laugh event, which already happened. Mm-hmm. It was September 1st. I really wish that I could have been there. I was in Florida doing a big media circuit, but you had this big comedy event, and the proceeds went out to the victims from the Colorado shooting, and that's so incredible. I'm so proud of you and so honored to,
Thank you.
Have you here to speak about it. Tell us more about the event.
Okay. Well, it happened. I was, the morning it happened, I was so angry when I heard of the tragedy. I was just so angry. I ended up tweeting the president of the United States and Oprah, and I'm like, tweeting Colorado. I'm like, is there anything that I can do, because I've done so many charities with comedy, and I really didn't want to wait for the media to tell me what needed to be done. I started planning that show that I threw that day. I started planning it, and I felt that Pittsburgh needed to step up, because Batman: The Dark Knight Rises, you know, was filmed partially in Pittsburgh. So I took a stand and wanted to represent my city, Chelsea. So I basically called up all the comedians that I've been working with since day one. They've worked on a lot of charities with me. I'll go through some of those also, because I would like some of those people to get some recognition. They're just wonderful comedians. I called them. They are all on board. I ended up getting two bands, one from being from New York, Long Island, Face the King. I don't know if you're familiar with them. I had brought them in for the show, and I had a local band. So I just wanted to represent Pittsburgh. I actually got a venue, beautiful venue, the Palace Theater in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Beautiful venue. It was partially owned by Warner Brothers. Ironically, I found out after Warner Brothers donated money to this Aurora's Victim Relief Fund that's established in partnership with the Office of Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper through the Community First Foundation. It's a 501c nonprofit charity based there in that location. So I end up working directly with their office. I called their governor, and I actually spoke with people that worked in the office of the governor.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, you know, yeah. Even to have the confidence to start tweeting to such high ups is, you know, an amazing step in the right direction. I always say you could try, and the worst thing that could happen is no. They say no.
Exactly. That's how I took it upon myself. I said, well, you know what, if I only have so long to get this done, 58 people were shot, and it was just a tragedy. 12 of them were actually killed, and I actually had victims' families emailing me, reaching out to me, saying it was such a great thing that I was doing, and I don't know if I forwarded some of those emails over to you, but it was very touching how
incredible.
Colorado was so appreciative. They really were. I got a letter of recognition from the governor. It was just, my heart goes out to that state. It really does.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, what I know, it already happened. It was September 1st, so I can't say go out and get tickets for it. But I'm sure you have something. I'm sure you have something in the works. So, what are some of your next projects?
Well, I actually just did one on Friday for somebody in who had passed away in a car accident. But I do have one coming up this Saturday for a Jerry Snyder. He is a sufferer of brain and lung cancer. That's actually being held in one of the local towns here outside of Pittsburgh, north of Pittsburgh. There's going to be a big show, and I'm the main act, and I'm on that with another comedian. Her name's Chris Kent. You should look her up. She's great. She really has been an inspiration to me throughout all these charities we have done together. I have her booked on this. If anybody wants to look up a good comedian with a big heart, she's one of them. Her and I have that show coming up. We actually were thinking about maybe we were looking into doing something for the Empire State Building shooting that actually occurred right before our charity.
I do remember you talking about that with me. I didn't know if that was in the works or had happened already.
It is in the works. We are looking in. I was looking into a venue this week to see what I can do. But I don't put anything out until I'm like 100% sure, unless I'm really angry, Chelsea. Unless I'm really angry on Twitter, then things come out before they're planned. But I am working on something.
Now, would you say Twitter is one of your biggest platforms to spread awareness about whatever projects next or gaining, you know, an audience? Is Twitter one of your biggest connections to the public?
Yes, it is, actually, Chelsea. I never go on Facebook. There are certain reasons I never go on Facebook. I don't think I can handle Twitter and Facebook at the same time because I love Twitter so much.
Good job.
But I want it higher. One of my biggest things is don't ever judge a book by its cover. And I know in the entertainment business, when it comes to comedy, I don't typically fit the average comedian's style. I'm a bit girly, but I didn't want hired based off of that. I wanted hired because I was funny. So I didn't actually have my picture out. I actually did a big show in State College, and I saw the flyer. And for my picture, they actually used, like, the laughing mask. Mm-hmm. They had no clue what I looked like, and I thought that I sent the picture out of the flyer there, and I said it aren't I photogenic? So they actually didn't have a picture of me.
You know,
I didn't use Twitter.
I talk a lot about gender and gender stereotypes, and when you think about people who are funny, you know, I think a lot of males come to mind, and it's so great to be so young and obviously a female and be a comedian. But do you find that you have to prove yourself even more than the men out there?
It's funny. I actually showed up for a show and the other day, and they thought I was one of the comedians' dates. They said, "No, that thing, she's a comedian." I featured for TIMAC. Some comedian who was on BET and The Last Comic Standing. And it is a male-dominated entertainment industry, so it's even funnier to not only represent my age but my gender also.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to throw everybody a curveball.
Go, girl, go, girl. Now, do you mind if I ask how old you are?
No, I'm 31.
Oh, my God, you look so young in your pictures.
I thought you were 24. Yeah, I get carded sometimes, so I like that. You look really young because you are really young, Chelsea. Beautiful girl. I read your profile and everything, and I was blown away.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm going to be turning 22 this February. The big 22.
I'm sure that I'll be there. Yeah, you're beautiful. I saw you were a cheerleader.
Yes. So back in the day, I was a Miami Dolphins cheerleader, and it was so fun. I was the one being thrown in the air sometimes, but not anymore. I cheer on the sidelines.
I had Miami Dolphins pajamas, Chelsea, when I was in high school. I just want you to be aware of that. It was kind of a fan.
Yeah, they're not the most cool team to vote to cheer for these days, but gotta still represent that I lived in Florida. So go Dolphins!
I love Chelsea so much that I'm actually doing an interview during a Steelers game. I just want everyone to know Steeler Nation. But
you are so sweet.
You are amazing, and I know you're an inspiration, especially to the younger crowd, and I do appreciate you doing this because I think that it starts with the younger crowd, Chelsea. I feel that, the younger crowds, you don't have to be – we have this belief that you have to be rich to help people. You have to be Oprah, or you have to be older, you have to be established, and you don't. And I really think it's amazing how inspirational you are to the younger crowd in reaching out and showing the world what people can do at the young ages that you are.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that. That means so much to me, Amy. I really appreciate it. I'm very involved with the New York City Women's Empowerment Summit, and unfortunately we didn't connect on Twitter before this summer's Empowerment Summit, but this coming summer, you are 100% on my list. I would love for you to come. I think that it would be amazing for you to not only perform, but also speak on behalf of the comedians out there, and I would love for you to attend. It would be so up your alley.
Thank you, and I will definitely be there for anything that you do like that. I would really be honored. I wanted to talk about the other comedians also and how great they've been, and I know that we don't have that much time, but I think it's amazing what you do, and if I have to say anything to the younger crowd, like, who says you can't? You know, I've worked on so many charities. I've thrown together charities. You don't have to have somebody tell you what to do all the time. You can just get out there and do it. And I just feel that this country just needs to pull together more, help out when disasters happen, you know, take action is pretty much what I do. When something bad happens, you know, I have a team of great comedians that are on things with me, and we actually have done so many charities. I don't know if you wanted to get into some of that.
Well, definitely keep doing it. Comedy and laughter is the best way to make someone, you know, turn their frown upside down. So everybody can follow Amy at Amy Cap Comedy on Twitter. Like she said, she reaches out to her audience and most of her connections through Twitter. So I advise everybody to follow Amy at Amy Cap, C-A-P, Comedy on Twitter. Amy, thank you so much for joining me on Max and Friends. I will let you get back to your football game. And
well,
I'm sure we will talk to you.
Been awesome. Go Dolphins. I mean, go Steelers. You've been amazing. Anytime. Thank you so much, Chelsea.
Have a great evening.
You too. Have a great rest of your show.
Thank you so much. Well, that was Amy at Amy Cap Comedy. You can find her on Twitter. She's fantastic. She's funny. She's also charitable. And she's such an inspiration. There should be more Amys in the world. And we have another incredible guest. He's on the line as well. His name is Jared Weintraub. And we actually met in one of the craziest places that you could possibly meet. We met at a protest. We met at Occupy Wall Street, which it seems like a lifetime ago. It was almost a year ago. And I was, of course, reporting, and I had my little camera because I wanted to like maneuver through all of the people with my cameraman. And I asked Jared to do an interview, and he was so awesome that I was like, "Have you done this before?" And I think he said that he didn't, but he was a natural. He ended up telling me that he was a musician, and we've kept in touch, and finally featuring him here on Max and Friends because he has a new EP that just released. So exciting. Welcome to Max and Friends, Jared.
Hi, Chelsea. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you are so welcome. It's about time.
I know, seriously.
What's wrong with me? How come I didn't make this happen faster?
I don't know. I've been asking myself the same question since Occupy Wall Street. Come on, what's the deal?
So how have you been since Occupy Wall Street?
I have been very, very busy and very, very good. It's been a fantastic almost year, and I can't believe that it's gone. It feels like I don't know about you, but for me, it feels like it's just gone so quickly.
It has. It has. Today, we were having dinner before the show, and I actually thought I said something as if it was still the beginning of August, but it's really like September 9th. So, Chelsea, I need to get with you.
I can't believe it. It's almost halfway through September already. I mean, my EP gets released next Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 15th.
Incredible.
I know. I've been planning for this forever, and you know, it feels so surreal that it's already here. It's crazy.
So you know what? My friend Margie, who was introduced at the beginning of the show, she asked like the winning question of the evening because I have a lot of music friends, and I've always known the term EP, but what the heck does it stand for?
Basically, the real, abbreviation is EP. It means extended play. So basically, It's not a demo, which is like, you know, or it's not a single, which is just one song. It's not an LP, which is a long play, and that's typically like 10 to 12 songs. This is kind of a half album, just to kind of get yourself out there.
Okay. And it's like a little teaser album.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little teaser. Usually the EP features songs that will be featured on, you know, upcoming album whenever, but it's also just a way for you to get yourself out there and start kind of gauging interest and making connections and just having people hear the kind of things that you're working on. So that you
Right. Okay, well, that makes sense. So you said, you know, you and I have gotten to know each other a little bit. I know that you went to the University of Delaware, and that music's been in your world since you were pretty young. So you started on the guitar and then fell into vocals. Like, what's your musical story?
Yeah,
true Hollywood story.
Well, the true Hollywood story is actually the opposite. I've been singing forever. I can't even, from before I even could talk, basically, I was singing nonsense, you know. And I just always, for some reason, loved singing. My family, both my grandparents' houses had pianos in them, and I just always loved to perform in front of people, and singing just always connected with me because I didn't need an instrument. I didn't need to know how to play something. I didn't need to know how to read music or, you know, be taught how to sing. It's basically just something that comes from inside of you and something that helps express the way that you're feeling to, you know, your audience and even just to yourself sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm. I wish I had a little clip of your EP to tease all the listeners about of what it's going to sound like. So who's your musical comparison?
You could compare me closest to probably like a mix between John Mayer, Ray LaMontagne, if you're familiar with him, Bob Dylan, and probably like John Lennon, like all kind of infused together. So
pretty nice.
I'm like sort of happy, but with a folk indie feel at the same time,
mm-hmm.
I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So basically catchy, like a catchy feeling, but also every song that I write, I really try to make sure that I write it with a purpose and with meaning, but also something that you can, you know, just listen to on the car ride and not feel like, oh, this is the deepest thing ever, you know what I mean?
So how many songs are on your EP right now?
So this is a 5-song EP.
Okay.
And what's really special about this, a lot of things, you know, this is like a really big deal for me, but usually in the past I've just done acoustic stuff by myself, so just me and my guitar. And for this EP I really wanted to experiment with a full band sound. So basically I took some songs that I had already written and then some new songs that I have never recorded before, and I got a bunch of professional musicians who happen to also be good friends of mine, and had them play on my original songs. So this is
songs.
Yeah, so they're all written by me, and then I have some incredible, incredible musicians playing on it.
So a nice musical collaboration going on.
Exactly. The whole EP is a huge collaboration, and it was a huge step forward. I've kind of told myself that as soon as I graduated from college that I would start, you know, working on a professional career in music, because the plan was always to go to college, kind of get a backup degree, and also just get a college experience, because I think that's just so valuable in someone's life to be able to go away from home, but also not become part of the real world right away. And
mm-hmm.
that makes sense.
No, you have to have your degree to fall back on, but pursue your dreams.
Exactly. So I told myself that after I graduated from college that I would immediately start trying to, you know, make it as a musician. And basically, at the end of my senior year, I kind of got a curveball thrown into the game, I guess you want to say. And my a cappella group from college, the Deltones, ended up getting selected to be on the show The Sing-Off on NBC. And so we ended up, I was 2 weeks before I graduated that I found out we were even being considered for the show. And, you know, I hadn't accepted any job offers or really had a plan for how to go forward. And this was kind of like a sign for me that music was really in the cards for me, and that this is something that I should really pursue.
I remember you telling me at Occupy Wall Street to tune into the sing-off because your group was going to be on it, and I'm sorry that I didn't, but how did that turn out?
It turned out great. We came in 9th out of 15, so we made the top 10, which was fantastic.
Awesome.
And, yeah, I mean, they flew us out to L.A., and we got to film the show for, we were there for about a month and a half, and we lived in a hotel that entire time, and basically were quarantined and weren't allowed to leave. And I got really, really close with my group. I mean, closer with my group than I had already been before. And it was such a great opportunity because my acapella group was such a big part of my college career. And after our final concert, my senior year, I kind of thought that was kind of it as far as performing with them. And then we had the opportunity to perform for a larger audience than we'd ever really dreamed of performing to before. Mm-hmm. So that was fantastic.
And, now, talk about like music reality television shows. You know, you were on The Sing-Off, and I always wonder what it's like being a part of American Idol, The Voice, opening acts, or even America's Got Talent. Do you think that they're really great platforms to launch a career? I mean, it's kind of hard to say American Idol hasn't made some of the biggest A-listers today, like Jennifer Hudson, Carrie Underwood, Adam Lambert, Kelly Clarkson. I mean, like, the list can go on and on. But, I think, like, American Idol, and then I can't think of any other person who won one of the other shows that I mentioned that has made it to the top.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, like a lot of other things in our culture, it's kind of like a quick fix, you know? It's sort of like, oh, let's make it seem like this person is going to be the biggest thing forever, and then, you know, after we're done with them, then, you know, they're kind of on their own, and if they can float on their own after the show's over, then, you know, we'll take the credit for it, and if they can't, then, you know, there's always next season, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
But at the same time, I think it's awesome that, you know, some of my closest friends now have the ability to say, oh, I was, and even for me too, oh, I was featured on national television, and that kind of opens up, even if you don't become famous right away from that opportunity, you never know, like, oh, okay, I put this on my resume, or I put this on my artist bio, I was featured on The Sing-Off. You never know who's going to be like, oh, who's this person, you know, and then give you the next opportunity, which kind of leads to the next opportunity. And then, you know, if you hadn't ever been on that show, maybe you wouldn't have gotten that first opportunity that helped you keep continuing down the path that, you know, you wanted to take becoming, you know, I guess, you know, a famous musician or famous artist. So I think it's got some serious positives, but also I think it's got some serious negatives.
Mm-hmm. It's how you use the exposure after it comes to an end.
That's how I really think of it. Definitely.
Now, when your EP is released on the 15th, where can people find it? Can people go to iTunes and type your name in, and then it pops up?
Yep, all digital distributors, and also I'll have it on my website, which is just myname.com. So it's jaredweintraub.com. And I also have physical CDs available too, which is really cool. I think, you know, I got them 2 days ago, and that was like the coolest validation of this whole thing, just having something physically to hold in your hand and say, like, this is what I worked hard, you know, so hard for in the last, you know, however many years up to this point.
Right, I know. It's amazing here. When you see all your hard work come together and then you're holding it.
Exactly. It's fantastic. It's a great feeling. So now I'm excited because, you know, that whole stage of the creation phase of the idea of creating this final product is kind of over now, and now I can get to the next point of promoting it and actually getting out there and performing, and, you know, that was the whole point of.
And what about some live performances coming up?
Well, I have my biggest live performance is this Saturday. And it's at the Bitter End in New York City, which is a super, super famous place that has had, like, crazy amounts of famous people play there at the beginning of their career, like Bob Dylan, Stevie Wonder, Taylor Swift, Chuck Berry, like so many other people. And I have a big show there this coming Saturday the 15th at 9 p.m., and it's my big EP release party. It's actually my first full band performance with a bunch of musicians from the EP I have only played publicly with a full band before one time, and that was my freshman year of college, so that was, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago almost.
Amazing. So. Well, Jared, I'm so impressed with all of your hard work that, you know, from when I met you at Occupy Wall Street, you really did not have anything to tell me about this EP coming out, and now it's really happening less than a year later. You're making your dreams come into a reality, and that's the best feeling ever. I look forward to, like, tracking your success and saying I knew you when. And thank you so much for joining me on Max and Friends.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Everybody check out Jared Weintraub. His EP is coming out September 15th. You could follow him at Twitter and also his website, www.jaredweintraub.com. And also I'll post his information to my Twitter so you can check the spelling. Thank you so much again, Jared.
Thank you so much for having me. And good luck to you as well. I can't wait to see what happens with you too.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll speak to you soon.
Okay. Good luck. Bye.
Bye. Well, you know, actually, we, Margie and Mom, we had a little bit of a musical experience together. We watched the VMAs, which was this past Thursday. And it's amazing to, like, you know, Jared was saying John Mayer, John Lennon, even, you know, some artists that were even older that I don't think are pretty much within this millennial generation. But he also said indie pop. And indie was so not amongst the VMAs. It was all like pop and R&B. And I mean, what did you think about the VMAs? You know, Alicia Keys was up there, and that was probably the only like cross-generation gap of an artist that I felt really performed, because I don't think that you would turn on Lil Wayne's CD and be like, yeah, this is my jam. So what did you think from like a Gen X, Gen Y mindset?
I think that I'm very outdated in my music.
And I think it's a fabulous tie-in that this being Fashion Week in New York City and us viewing the Video Music Awards, what a collaboration between music and fashion, the good, the bad, the ugly, just a treat for all the senses.
Yes.
I mean, between the get-ups and the music and the mix and it's just such a show. And I think that's what we saw here in New York City this week as well.
It really
just
is.
A show for all the senses, just a spectacular, spectacular treat.
Yeah, it's so true because, you know, we expect today that there has to be dancing with the singing. Like mm-hmm. there's so few now really big stars that don't put on a show.
Right.
Where like years ago, if you had the voice, that was enough, but now it's not. It's like
a production.
Whole package production.
And
yes.
You dance even if you can't dance.
Right.
And you wear short shorts even if you shouldn't be wearing short shorts.
And lighting and this and that.
And talking about a man who is full of production and covers all ends of the spectrum within this entertainment industry, host Max Tucci is on the line, has a special surprise for his listeners. Welcome to your show, Max.
Hey, Chelsea Cross. How you doing?
I'm good. Are you, like, walking straight these days?
Oh, my God. Let me tell you. Hey, Cindy. Hi, Margie. How y'all doing? Thanks for being on the show tonight.
Hey,
and I got to say hi to Ronan. Thank you all for holding down the fort. I've been nonstop. You know, I've been in Italy. I was doing the cooking show there and just going all over the country and all over the world doing my thing. And now I'm back in New York with Fashion Week and getting everything together and just enjoying. And season 10 of Max and Friends is going to be next Sunday.
Oh, my God. We need a party.
Yep. Season 10, every night, every Sunday night on LA Talk Radio is a party with Max and Friends.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're going to have a great show next week. We're starting off the season with how to really just forgive people and move on and get a new season. And, you know, it's September, so it's time to go back to school and time to get things back together. And I think the true forgiveness is what everybody needs. So that's what the show we're going to start with this season. And we got a great season coming ahead. We have, of course, a million celebrities coming on. Now, y'all like that. And, of course, we have, you know, sex talk and politics, and especially this year with politics. So, you know, Thelonious Monk is going to be back and Hunter Cross, and we're going to talk about politics. And we've got some special politicians coming on this show. So
politicians,
it's going to be a good
special
season. What happened? So you know how it goes. But
just
I thank you, Chelsea. What happened?
Just ask a politician and he will tell you in depth. She will tell you.
Well, you know, the joke is you can ask any politician to come and they will, and that's in more ways than one. But that's what y'all got to tune into Max and Friends for. So, well, but are you all enjoying Fashion Week? It's been crazy, right?
It is crazy.
We can't wait till tomorrow.
I know. Farrah's show is going to be unbelievable. It's going to be a great show for spring 2013. You know, I've seen the collection already and casted the models, so I know what what the market's going to see tomorrow and buyers are going to see and the editors, and be ready for a really beautiful collection.
We're so excited. Farrah's show is going to be fantastic. I'm not sure if we just lost Max, but, you know, coming from people who have all different experiences at Fashion Week, it's incredible because you seeing every show is a different entity of its own. I mean, you know, even Max Azria and Luba Azria are the, you know, umbrella owners, you know, they're everything of both BCBG and Hervé, and both shows were so different.
We picked up from there. I lost you. You know what? I can produce a show, I can host a show, but I can't use a cell phone to call into my own show. But so, you know, Farrah's show is going to be great, and get ready. There's a lot of embroidery, there's a lot of color, and spring 2013, you know, we need to be lifted up again, and I think fashion is going in that direction. So get ready for tomorrow's show, but more importantly, get ready for season 10 of Max. I feel like Oprah calling in to my own show. When she calls, everyone goes crazy. But yeah, season 10 is going to be a great season for Max and Friends, my fifth year of season 10. I love all my listeners for tuning in. I love you, Chelsea Cross, for holding down the fort tonight. And, of course, Tamara Montana for holding down the fort this last month while I was away. So y'all continue the show. Thank you. And I'm going to go enjoy the rest of my evening before I got to get back to work next Sunday. So
yes. We love you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Of course, you know, you got to stay tuned, everyone. At the end of the show, CBS News comes up next. So we got to give a big shout-out to CBS News because they always give us what we want to hear. Hey, before I let you go, Chelsea, did you hear this true? I need to confirm. Did Macaulay Culkin die?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
You know what? I'm not sure. We've been so immersed in the fashion world and all of that. I feel a little out of
time. See, I break news on Max and Friends, so if I just broke the news, y'all, we need to confirm that rumor, because it came across my desk earlier today, but I didn't confirm it, and because I've been too busy to confirm it. But I think that's a true story. So before it can get confirmed, y'all heard it here first. But you know, the thing was, yesterday Morgan Freeman died, and he's still alive. So who knows if it's just a celebrity hoax? But the way Macaulay was looking recently, it could be confirmed. So Chelsea, if you can confirm that before the end of the show, let everyone know.
Yes, I'm actually trying to confirm it right now, and I can't find anything that's saying, yes, he is dead, so I'm not going to give that information quite yet.
There you go.
I'm not sure. No.
We'll know tomorrow on the cover of the post. But if it's true, y'all heard it here first. So
yes.
Y'all have fun. I'm going to let you know, go, because I know you got a couple more minutes to wrap up the show, so do your thing, and thank you all for tuning in tonight to Max and Friends and LA Talk Radio.
We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye. Good night.
Runway.
So the show goes by so fast, but you know, for those people who don't ever have the chance to experience Fashion Week or even, you know, be in New York City, I think it's so exciting to give them a taste of what it is. And it's so much more than just like the runway. It's seeing everybody else. I think people watching is also one of the best parts of Fashion Week, because people come decked whether you like their outfit or not. And we saw a lot of varieties of fashion. Any particular trends you picked up on? Like, what do you think's the hottest thing going?
I have to say that I think the men impressed me more than the women.
Okay.
The men had patterns. Their pants were so insane, from embroidery to leopard with bright colored shoes and just crazy belts. And really, I think they impressed me more than the women.
What about you, Margie?
Well, the women impressed me because their bodies were just too sick for words. So
yeah, I'd rather just not look, maybe.
Right. You know, beautiful people. Coming from South Florida and living there my whole life, there's just such a feel about New York. And as I said before, just the fashionistas are everywhere. And I was just so impressed with the excitement and the vibe in the air, that this city has so much to offer in every aspect of culture. But to see so many people just passionate about what we wear and the statements we make by what we put on our backs was just phenomenal. And the energy and the, you know, being at the shows and just experiencing the passion the city has to offer was just a real treat for me. When I go back to Florida, I'm going to go through my closet and take a real hard and then I might just have to do a little bit of shopping.
Well, it's so crazy because you go to Fashion Week, we're on the brink of fall, and we're seeing spring 2013, which is like a little trippy. But going into fall, I know for a fact that there are so many great trends. Like, I love fall fashion, and I think some of the biggest trends right now are definitely for women at the moment, wearing your hair in a bun.
Yes.
I think a statement necklace is everything, especially the collar necklace, the button-down shirts with the collar necklace going, you know, right around the collar of the neck, the leather skirt, the platform shoe, the sneaker wedge, and the jeans with leather. Leather and lace and red lip, you cannot go wrong for fall.
That sounds good to me.
And you know what I love? I love that I grew up in Florida for most of my life, although I don't like to admit that because I know I'm a New Yorker at heart. That, you know, being super tan is so not the cool thing anymore. Maybe Jersey Shore really turned us off from being tan. But, you know, not – you don't have to be pasty white, but not, you know, not being crazy about you have to sit in the sun. And, you know, just coming off of summer and hearing so many horror stories of, you know, skin cancer at a young age and my grandfather having melanoma, it's nice going into fall where the sun kind of, you know, chills out a little bit and not feeling that pressure to be tan, because a trend is having that, like, really beautiful, you know, whiter skin than that really dark skin. Of course, I always love being tan, but I think that's a great trend that's new, especially as well as the curves. Curves are in, you know.
Yes.
It's here for the curves. Like all these magazines with fall fashion. It's so exciting to see women in curves and fashion. And casting for Farrah Ansana's show, I was so excited that we were not casting any size zero models. Yeah. Because, you know, too skinny is not the look.
I have to say, though, the girls on the runway are still very thin.
They are very thin.
But I think, you know, what I realized when I was watching was they almost are like hangers, because you're not really supposed to notice them. It's almost like the clothes are walking by themselves.
Right.
Like, how they walk. How those women learn to walk.
I don't
know. Miss Cindy here was checking it out. She even did her own version of the catwalk walk, which could have been America's Funniest Videos. As beautiful as Cindy Crost is,
not a
good
walk.
She didn't get the walk down.
No, I would have been fired.
So these models with those long, lanky, beautiful legs, one foot in front of the other, that is an art unto itself.
Totally.
And is Max
Hey, Chelsea, real quick. I'm here. Listen, according to, we just confirmed that he's not dead. Macaulay Culkin's not dead.
Good. All of the stuff I was pulling up was not recording that he was reporting that he was dead.
Yeah, no, I just called him. He's fine.
So Macaulay Culkin is breathing, everybody.
But if he's dead tomorrow, that I can't confirm. You know, anything can happen between now and tomorrow. But as of right now, he's still alive. But Chelsea, I heard you say we didn't cast any size zero models for Fowler's show. That's a lie. They were negative zero.
No.
No. No, but those, no, the girls that did have curves we pulled.
Yeah.
Last
yeah.
minute decision by Max. You know what? I'll tell you why real quick. I love a girl with curves, but when you have clothes that need to fit, you want to see the fabric move. So the intention is not to get, you know, a girl with curves, and there's no disrespect to them. But when you're showing fabric, you need to have the fabric move. Although the clothes look better on women with curves, but when they're on the runway, you want to see the fabric move. So that's the intent, you know, why a lot of designers don't go with curvy women. But that's why a lot of men marry curvy women, because they want to get them in the bed. You know, the joke is, and I'll let you guys go. But I know Ronan's going to kill me because I was running over time, and I'm not supposed to be here tonight. But they always say that a man likes a curvy woman because when he slaps her ass in bed, she stays in place. When you slap a skinny girl's ass in bed, she goes right through the wall and says hi to your neighbor.
Oh, God.
All right, well, we're going to leave on the note.
On that note, love you all. Finish the show, stuff. Love you guys.
Well,
bye.
I don't think there's any way to top that off, so we'll leave with that note. Thank goodness that Macaulay Culkin is alive. He's too cute to be dead.
Yeah,
he needs to get his act together and get over the drugs, but he's alive. Thank you so much for my fabulous guests, Amy and Jared. I'm so proud of everything that you're doing. Stay true to who you are. Follow your dreams. Margie and Cindy, thank you so much for joining me tonight on Max and Friends. And for those of you who are going to Fashion Week tomorrow and happen to be going to the Farrah Ansana show, try to find me and say hello. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great night. And you can log on to ChelseaCross.com for more information about myself, as well as my book, 19, and follow me at Twitter, at Chelsea Cross. I would love to connect with anybody to work with you in the future or highlight you on any of the platforms that I work with as well. So thank you so much, everybody. Have a great night, and I will be back soon.
And Max will talk to you next week on Max and Friends.
Good night, everyone.
Take care.
Good night.